What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wildlife Control Podcast. This is episode 31, and on today's episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about opening an outside location from your existing location, how that's changed for me over the years. Also, by the way, if you're going to the Wildlife Expo, February 1st through the 3rd, I will be there. That's Tuesday through Thursday, February 1st through the 3rd, I will be there. Would love to sit and talk with you about growing your business, about doing acquisitions. Maybe we just sit and have a drink. But if you want to meet with me, shoot me an email, growth@conservemail.com. That's growth@conservemail.com. Hope you enjoy today's episode. On many previous episodes, if you've been listening along to the podcast for a while, you've heard me talk about opening up multiple locations. And the way that I think about it today in 2022 versus 2018, 19, 17, 16, it's definitely changed over time just based off of my own personal experience and what works best. There's so many different ways to look at it, and I want to talk to you guys today about opening out an outside location, whether it's a physical location or a remote location, and why you should be very, very careful when you do it, because it can either make your life better or it could make your life miserable. So first of all, I think one really important question that you need to ask yourself before you go out and do this is, am I better off spending this money locally, or do I miss an opportunity by not opening up this other location? So the other location could be you have an employee that is moving. He's a star employee. He says, hey, I'm moving here. There's another opportunity for myself or whatever it might be. I want to live in this other city. That could be a really good opportunity, and you may never have that opportunity present itself again. I think it's really important that whoever is running an outside location has a lot of experience doing what we do every day, whether it's wildlife or pest control. So I think that's a really important question to ask yourself. Or maybe it's just, you know, somebody in the industry that you know. Maybe it's not an employee, but just somebody that's going in that city or working in that city that wants to partner with you and use your business to grow from. But they don't want to own the business, but they know of your business and they think that it would be a good opportunity. That could be something else that you might not want to miss out on just because of the timing. So maybe it doesn't benefit you quickly, because there's going to be some capital startup costs there to get that rolling. But long term, it could be very beneficial if this is somebody that you want to partner with. But how do I know if I'm better off spending this money locally? Well, I want to look at what I'm currently doing in my business. So is my business firing on all cylinders? Is there anything locally that I am not doing that I could do that would generate a better ROI, an easier ROI, and just a better business in itself? I've talked before about how much you may have to travel if you're going to go out and open up a lot of different locations. And, you know, traveling can be fun for the right people. I enjoy traveling. I like to travel when I want to, not when I have to personally. I don't want it to be because I have to go to another state or another city. I want it to be because I want to go there to go do quality control, shake some hands, kiss some babies, make sure everybody has everything they need, but not because there's a fire to put out. But regardless of, I think, how well your business is running, there's going to be situations when you're smaller where it's going to come down to you, not anybody else in your company that's going to have to go there. So, very important question. Am I better off spending this money locally, or would it be better for me to spend it in this other area? And if I can generate a better ROI locally, and my long-term plan is to just build a nice, profitable company that gives me a little bit of balance in my life, I'm probably not going to go and open that other location unless I'm putting all of that responsibility on a partner or an employee. So that's one good question. You know, is there anything I can do at my main location? That's such an important way to look at it, because you're going to have to spend money. There's no way you can open up another location for free that I know of, unless you just use debt. But either way, you got to spend money. So somebody's going to have to pay for something. So I got to get trucks. I got to get equipment for the trucks. I got to get everything ready. Maybe there's some local SEO I got to do, marketing, website work, all that stuff. That all cost money. So I want to be very careful. Why do I want to open this location? Another very important question to ask yourself. If it's just to make money, it goes back to the ROI question. Can I get a better ROI locally? Or can I get the same ROI locally? And then I think it's important, whether you're young and can't ever imagine selling your business, or you're older and think you're just going to pass it down generation to generation, whatever that strategy may be, you should have an exit strategy with an outside location. Even if you think you'll never exit, plan on an exit strategy. Know who your buyer is. Very important question. What is that buyer going to look like? I think in our industry, as we've talked many times before, if you're really, really small, there's not a whole lot of options. So you're going to have to sell to a small local business there, or a guy that just wants to get into our industry, or girl, or is a smaller acquirer going to be the only option. And you want to make sure you're running your business for as long as you can, set up to where it's going to be easy to transfer that over in the event that opportunity presents itself and that's something that you want to do. Who's going to run the business? Very important. You can't be everywhere at once. You're one guy or girl. So who's going to run it? Very important question. I really, really strongly believe that person has to have strong sales goals, and also has the capabilities to be a good salesperson. I think they should have some industry experience. That's going to make a really big difference. If they don't, that's going to pull more time away from location number one. You're going to have to spend a lot of time on the phone, a lot of time training this person, or somebody else in your company is. Either way, it's time away from focusing on your business and growing your business. What will you do if they're not there? What are you going to do? So if this person takes a vacation, you know, people have lives outside of work or whatever it is, what are you going to do? You got to have a plan. We've talked about worst case scenario on here before with starting a multi-location business. You need to have a plan. I prefer, when I start a new location, that I start with two people. So whether we're going to buy a business or go out there on our own, I want to have somebody who I call a manager. They're going to wear multiple hats. And then I also want to have somebody who is primarily a technician, also going to wear multiple hats. All of them need to have the ability to sell. If they do not have the ability or have the willingness to go out and talk to customers and present good options to resolve their pest issues, then they're not somebody that I want to hire. So very important. And the reason for that is this: look, one person, you know, is sick or on vacation, you want to have that consistent revenue come in, because unfortunately, most of our revenue is one time. So very, very important questions to ask yourself. Now, if you can ask yourself all those questions honestly, you're ready to travel if you need to, your family's on board, you think that there's a better ROI there, you've maxed out your current area, you feel like you're just going to continue to grow with what you currently have invested there locally, then I think that's good. And you know, another way to look at it right now, you can really see it across the country. The north of the United States right now is getting hammered with horrible weather. I can't imagine, if you're in Boston right now, you're very busy. I really don't know if you can even drive. I'm down in South Florida, and it's still cold down here. It's 37 right now in Naples. So down here, it's not going to affect us that much. It's actually, you know, probably going to help anybody who's operating down here. But in other areas of the country, when you get a lot of bad weather, that is going to affect calls, just like it would anywhere. So that's something to think about too. If you're in multiple markets, you're in, a tropical market, you're in an area, just different areas of the US, you're going to have certain weather that's not going to affect your business as much all at once. It might just be one location versus all of them. And if you only have one, well, it's going to affect all of them. So, diversifying your operation, I think, is an interesting way to look at it. So when I do decide, all right, I definitely want to open up this outside location, I want to make sure that, again, I really want to do the math. I'm going to sit down, I'm going to create projections, I'm going to estimate that this market's going to do really well, what one person can drive in as far as sales go. I also want to really look at the population. If you're in a market that doesn't have a lot of people, who are you going to do business with? So you need to have humans living there that are willing to spend money on these types of services. Smaller cities typically shoot their problems, in my experience. They're not interested in paying for a service to resolve a raccoon issue. They're just going to go back there and shoot it. So I want to think about that. And I also want to look at it from a tax standpoint. I'm not a CPA, but there are certain benefits there. So, maybe it's the end of the year and I had a really good year and this opportunity has presented itself and I can buy a couple vehicles and some equipment and I can depreciate that and benefit me as far as my taxes for the year. So that might be another way to look at it. But I want to hire somebody that I know and trust. And they are wanting to run it for me. And then I also want to think about speed. If I can get to a target faster, why wouldn't I get there faster if it's not going to cause any major issues? So as long as I'm careful and I plan, if I feel like I can get to a specific revenue target or profitability target faster than staying locally, then I probably will pull the trigger and do that. Speed is definitely a thing. So I've found in our company that I want to get a good manager trained first. So that location is going to have a manager that definitely has experience in a route-based company. They need to have a little bit of knowledge of wildlife. Obviously, they can't be afraid of wildlife. I prefer somebody that's just more experienced in general with dealing with people. So, somebody who has a lot of experience communicating with customers and dealing with customer issues. And the reason I'm thinking so much about that is I don't want too much of my time pulled away to training and teaching this person how to do these things. I want them to already know what to do when these scenarios present, because you're going to have situations, regardless of how perfect you are. You can do everything right. We all know this. You can do everything perfect, and you still might have a customer or two that's going to complain about things. So you want to have somebody who's patient, who has management experience, not just with the customers, but also with managing employees. And I've personally found that hiring people from larger pest control companies and bringing them over has been really beneficial. Even if they don't have a lot of wildlife control experience, if they have pest control experience, I can at least find somebody that has a similar mindset to resolving those issues. And also, it's beneficial because, ultimately, we do want to be more of a recurring based business than a wildlife business. So finding a pest control person that has experience on that side allows them to be a licensed operator, so we can then roll out pest control in those markets eventually. So those are things I really think of when I go out and open up a location. And there's going to be many situations. We've had many situations here recently, actually, where had people approach us that wanted to sell their business to us, and they just weren't big enough for it to be worth it to us. It would just be too much of a headache. So, if it's not a good opportunity and I just don't like the market a lot, there's not enough people, there's not enough revenue, and there's not an immediate upswing or synergy after a deal goes through, that's probably a situation that I don't want to get in. So I got to be very, very careful about how I deal with that. Once I find a good manager, so they basically would, I would find them before I open, obviously. So that's capital out the door. And then I also want to go ahead and find a technician. Now, if I don't have another person in my company that can go to this other area and train them, we can bring them back to home base. We can train them there. They could actually get a little bit of help actually by having that extra person there training. And if I don't have that option, or if it's just not beneficial, or maybe I already have leads coming in, I can just train them at the new location. So I go to the new location and we train them for a couple of weeks at least. I stay in a hotel. After that, we've already found a technician that's going to start at a certain time. After the manager is trained, then we hire and train the technician, and then we begin to build around that manager and that technician. So, at first we might not really know what sales are going to be, what our profitability is going to be there. We have a general idea, and once we start hitting those targets, then we know, okay, we've achieved what we thought we were going to achieve, or more or less or whatever. We can pivot as needed, and then we can begin building around that. The goal for us is not to go out and hire two people and we stay two people. The goal is I want to create incentives both for the manager and the technician that continue to push for growth, and with each goal achieved, they're incentivized to hit those goals, and we can continue to move forward and grow that business in that market. So if I can add more people, the first 6 months maybe we have a couple of people working in the business, we see what's going on, we see it's going well, then we go ahead and we add more people and have a plan to increase the revenue right after we hire those people and continue to grow the business. And we just keep doing that over and over and over again, as long as we can, obviously, while also really increasing the recurring revenue. Recurring revenue makes your life a lot easier in every market that you're in, but I think even more so in markets that are further away from you, because you don't have to depend as much on your salespeople to drive in those one-time services. So I get a bunch of larger recurring revenue coming in. It makes my life a hell of a lot easier to run that business. We keep up on the customer service, and then we're always verifying that they're doing what they need to be doing, and we're keeping track of everything very, very closely. And I think when you do that too, you have to be able to spend the time, or have somebody else in your organization spending the time, overseeing all those different locations. And it's a full-time job on the administrative side, on the scheduling side, and the routing side, as well as on the financial side, to make sure each branch is running good financially. You don't have any funny business going on, you don't have any theft, people aren't buying new grills at Home Depot on your dollar. And I think if you do that, you're going to find that it's not that different from running a location, whether it's 3 hours away or 20 hours away, from running it locally. If I were to do it again, when I went out in 2017 and opened up 10 locations in 10 months, there would have been several that I probably would have never opened, just because they weren't the best market and we just didn't have the right people. So I think it's really important that you get the right people in place first before you open it. And sometimes you're just going to have to wait. If there's an area that you really want to work in for whatever reason, and you can't find the right talent, sometimes you just have to wait. But at the end of the day, too, maybe you just take a risk if you can, if you're willing to risk that money on another location. And if it succeeds, great. If it doesn't, well, you just have to try again. And there's several markets that we opened up in 2017 that did really well on the revenue side, on the profitability side, but on the employee side, very, very difficult to deal with. So we ended up pulling out of those markets just because we struggled with finding the right people. And I know many of you, I've talked to many people about this over the years, and it's a common theme across the country. And that's going on even with the bigger companies in our industry. I've talked to guys that are running 20, 50, $60 million pest control businesses regularly across the U.S., and they all have the same issues. And I think once you get your business to a point of profitability where you can hire people that focus on recruiting and you're constantly recruiting, it's not as bad. But I also think if you're having a lot of turnover, you should probably look at your culture and see if there's anything that can be a little bit more attractive for people to stay and attract the right people too. I've definitely learned that over the years, just different ways of incentivizing people and different ways of hiring people and building the right positions from the front end and building the right training on the front end. That's going to make things very different. SOPs, very, very important when you're opening up an outside location. You better have your pricing down for that market. You better do your research of what your competitors are doing. I hope you're not going into a super saturated market because that could cause issues as well. And I hope you're not putting all your eggs in one basket with a certain lead generator or a certain client. If so, you're basically riding the wave, because eventually that wave could crash and now you don't have any revenue coming in if you're mostly selling one-time services. So would love to spend some time with you at the Wildlife Expo. If you do want to meet up while I'm there, I'll be there February 1st to the 3rd. Shoot me an email, growth@conservemail.com. I hope you guys had a great 2021, and I hope 2022 is off to a great start. See you soon. Thank you for listening to today's episode. It was brought to you by Conserve. Do you run a wildlife removal business and feel like you have no freedom? You're taking the phone calls, you're doing the services, and you just don't have enough free time for yourself. Are you ready to double or triple the size of your company and build a business that can run and grow without you while steadily increasing your profits? Well, Conserve partners with businesses just like yours all over the country, and together we are building a fast-growing business around your goals and lifestyle. We can reduce your operating cost, we can increase your sales, and give you, the owner, more freedom and help you build a business that runs and grows without you. To set up an initial consultation, email us at growth@conservemail.com. That's growth@conservemail.com.